5. So is 7 the demand?
I guess you got to call 7 the demand. I really want to call 8 the demand.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Like I said, if you're good, you get at least 8. 7 will buy you another year of getting your guys in there and all that stuff.
If we win fewer than 6, I'll never watch another game. I will never watch another game. I'll never watch another game in my life if we win fewer than 6.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
If we win fewer than 7, I'll never watch another Pruitt game. If we go 6-6, I'm not watching another game until we get a new coach.
A man has to have a code, and I respect it. The 6th one seems a little aggressive.
If we win 4 or fewer, I will end my life. If we win fewer than 4, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me.
On 1340 WKGN.
So hopefully we don't win 3. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9. We're all in trouble then.
Hour 2 kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Let's go to some Hour 2 headlines, please.
Thanks, John. We'll start with sexual assault. An unnamed NFL player is suing United Airlines, alleging he was sexually harassed, assaulted, and violated by a female passenger on a February flight from Los Angeles to Newark, and that the airline failed to properly respond to complaints. The civil
Does it say what airline?
United Airlines.
United. Okay, sorry.
The civil suit filed in... Is that one for me?
No, because I asked. You didn't test me. I asked because I missed it, but you didn't like say, "Hey,
it's a
quiz." I was acknowledging that I missed it. I wasn't pretending like I did.
What would you, just for the record? What would you have guessed?
I didn't know you had said it, but I'm
the airline.
Probably would have guessed United. Actually, are they always in trouble? United's the one always messing up, right?
I feel like they all mess up.
No, but United was the one that kicked the woman off the plane, or the Chinese man.
The Chinese man, they beat him up, right?
Yeah, that was United, right? United had a... Then they killed that woman's dog. They put it underneath the... In the cargo area, and the dog died.
Maybe they should call it Divided Airlines. Anyway, back to the sexual assault. The civil suit was filed in the L.A. County Superior Court Monday seeking unspecified statutory and punitive damages from the airline. According to the lawsuit, the player and another passenger in the same row made 4 complaints to flight attendants that a woman was allegedly making unwanted sexual advances before she moved to a different seat.
I feel like this is a really bad time for the story to come out for United, because aren't airlines already kind of hurting?
Yep.
Yeah, they are hurting big time.
Cutting a ton of flights, because, yeah.
Yeah, you can get a flight to Anchorage for like $6.
Oh, where?
I don't know if that's true. That was just me picking a city and an amount of money. But that's, you know, basically flights are cheap right now. So.
Okay.
You don't see this often in the news. Men suing for sexual assault.
It's kind of refreshing.
Terry Crews is the only one that really had made a thing out of it.
Yeah.
You familiar with Terry Crews?
Terry Crews.
You would know him if you saw him, but the name.
Is that the woman that was?
You know Terry Crews.
The woman was on I'm thinking of Terry Schiavo.
You know Terry Crews.
Remember Terry Schiavo?
No.
Slings McDonald's on the playgrounds.
You would know Terry Crews. Big, strong, muscular guy.
Is that a wrestler?
No, it's an actor.
Sounds like a wrestler. Terry Crews.
He's a pretty famous actor. I mean, he could be a wrestler.
I'm Terry Crews.
He's really famous in these movies for just being really jacked.
Big jacked Terry Crews.
But usually he's like funny while being jacked. Yeah, he like jiggles his pants.
I don't know him. He jiggles them or he flexes.
Google Terry Crews and you'll know who he is.
I think there's a difference in the word jiggle and flex. Like, if you can jiggle your pecs.
He flexes them. He flexes them.
I feel like he does more of the jiggle.
He does both. Like, he flexes them and he jiggles them.
He pops them a little
when
bit.
When I think jiggle,
fair enough.
Jiggle's a fat word.
Fair enough. He pops his pecs. He pops the pecs. Google him and tell me that you know who he is.
Okay. Let's.
You're going to say, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Terry Crews. Oh, I was thinking C-R-U-Z. Oh, yeah, of course I know Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody loves Terry Crews.
Yeah, well, he spoke out a couple years ago.
He plays a big gay guy
in
a lot of movies. He does. He does. Because isn't he actually gay?
No.
No, he's not actually gay.
Are you sure? I think I've heard that Terry Crews is gay.
You might have heard that, but the only movie I remember him playing someone gay was Friday After Next, and that was just because he had kind of been converted in prison was the kind of joke that he
was there
to
something in The Longest Yard?
There was a gay person. Tracy Morgan played a...
Terry Crews has played...
Terry Crews is in The Longest Yard, but all he wanted to do was sell hamburgers.
He's an advocate for women's rights and activist against sexism.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He was the only. He's the only male that's really came out and spoken out against this, you know, especially when it comes to just, you know, a woman versus a man. And he had talked about how he had been sexually harassed at times. Anyways, let's move on. You got any more headlines?
I could have sworn he was gay.
He is not. He is married.
Personal
I guess
life.
Not that it always matters, but there is nothing out there about him. It
says he has a long-standing pornography addiction.
Yep, he has talked about that.
That's which okay. had seriously affected his marriage and his life.
I have seen Don. Is it Don John or Don Juan? Is it Don John?
I think it's... that's a good question. I thought it was Don John. Maybe
it
it's
might
not.
Be Don John. A play on words of Don Juan. Maybe that's it. With Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
It is Don John.
And
yeah,
Scarlett.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's married to a woman named Rebecca King since 1989.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's had a long, long, long relationship.
Something about... It says... I guess he made some comments about the LGBT community. I thought it was LGBTQ plus community. At one time, but he made some comments. Now he's changed. Anyway, so good for him. How did he come up? What were we talking about?
You were talking about a man accusing a woman of sexual assault, and I said he's the one public figure that I've seen do it recently.
Apparently an NFL player.
Yeah.
An unnamed NFL player.
Hey, man, it could happen.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose it could. Spotify.
Usually the guys don't come out and say it, so
yeah,
this is kind of big.
Yep. Spotify is paying Joe Rogan $100 million.
Woo! Cash.
So that his podcast will be exclusively on Spotify and a licensing deal, says a person familiar with the matter. More than $100 million. It's the biggest deal we've seen since Howard Stern went to SiriusXM.
What was that contract?
I want to say that was like $100 million.
Okay.
That was... several years ago, though.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a little bit worth a little bit more in today's money, I guess. I mean, I don't know what the dollar is compared to where it was then, so maybe it's not, but.
$80 million a year.
Oh, wow. So, yes, I don't know how many years the Spotify deal is. Maybe it's just exclusive forever, like as long as he does the podcast. I don't know how they release like year details and how long Rogan has to do the podcast there.
Let me click a link.
Is it just $100 million payment?
It just says the deal is worth more than $100 million.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's not a multi...
It might be like $100 million, and then he gets a cut of something per year, something like that. Cut of ad revenue or something of the sorts.
It's going to have Joe Rogan's full library, which dates back 11 years.
I got to be honest, man. Wow. This is one of the craziest things that I've seen happen. I mean, I don't know. When's the first time you guys saw Joe Rogan?
Fear Factor.
Okay, yeah, so you guys, that was... Okay, I didn't know if you guys were...
I didn't realize that was him again until, like,
oh, really?
Somebody brought it up. I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that is
after,
the same guy. Yeah.
After Fear Factor, he didn't...
He went to UFC. He went
for
to
a
UFC.
Long time.
He just basically went to UFC, I'm pretty sure, and started doing, like, UFC coverage. It was weird, because I was like, why is a Fear Factor guy doing UFC?
He's a renaissance man.
And then the UFC guy started doing podcasts, and then they got really famous, and now he's made $100 million off of it. I don't know if he did anything before Fear Factor, but yeah, that's and I knew it was him the whole time. So I got maybe that's where the age difference comes in a little bit. It's like I remember Fear Factor and specifically remember Joe Rogan.
Like I remember the look, but I didn't realize it was the same guy until like somebody was like, "Yeah, that's the Fear Factor." I was like, "Oh wait, yeah, it is."
Yeah, like, so I mean, like, you would have been a little bit younger when it was happening, so maybe like the name wouldn't have meant as much. But like I specifically remember, wait, why is the Fear Factor guy in the UFC now?
Well, he's always done stand up too.
Yeah, but I don't feel like a stand up was ever like. Anything that was very good for him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like he...
He's always done it, though.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's where he got his start at, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think that it was ever a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
No, I mean, he was never a huge...
It was enough to get him on Fear Factor, but it wasn't like he was a comic on Fear Factor. You know what I mean? He's just kind of a host that.
Right. Yeah, and then he got into the podcasting game, and nobody's really had a bigger one.
No, he's got the, you get 20 million downloads a month, you get $100 million. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's it's crazy how many people listen to it. Do you ever listen?
I've listened to a couple episodes. There's, I don't want to say they're too long because we do a three-hour show, but like the three-hour podcast is kind of tough. I listen to some people, though. Like, I've only listened to like two or three, honestly. It's weird.
I like the ones where he gets Joey Diaz with him. You like Joey Diaz?
I don't know who the fighter. Is Joey Diaz a fighter?
No, he's a comedian.
Okay.
He's just got a real deep voice. He just kind of sits around and kind of talks this. And he just
He was in The Longest Yard.
He's got some crazy stories. That guy does.
I think I listened to the Alex Jones episodes maybe.
Yeah. Elon Musk.
I don't even know if I listen. I don't like Elon Musk.
I listen to the ones where he has comedians on.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had Bill Burr on one time.
I might have listened to a Bill Burr episode, too, maybe.
He had Artie Lang on a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Oh. That was really good.
I haven't listened to that one.
Been clean.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, there's some good episodes, you know. But, obviously, a lot of people listen to it because he's getting $100 million from Spotify. So that seems like a lot of money.
That is. Cash him out.
You know what else is a lot of money? Having to pay $1.2 million in rent, which is
Like anyone has to pay $1.2 million in rent.
The Oakland A's, well, apparently they don't have to because they didn't. That's the headline. The Oakland A's missed their rent payment this month.
Nah. So
it's a $1.2 million stadium rent payment. Ring Central Coliseum executives say the A's were supposed to make the payment by April 1st.
What if they
and they're not paying
like,
their rent?
What if they evict them? Like, no, sorry, A's. If they do play baseball, you got to find somewhere else to play.
The A's may get evicted. That's do they? I guess they've had money problems anyway, right?
I mean, they don't. Yeah, they're a very small market, or they're very.
Isn't it kind of the same with the?
They're very broke
with the Warriors and why the Raiders moved, and they're it's all tied to Oakland somehow, right? Like, there's no.
Well, the Oakland just wouldn't give the. I think they just wouldn't give.
The city.
They leave because they wouldn't build the Warriors a new stadium, like a new arena.
Or
they just
want to
get across the bay because it's like that's San Francisco's more in line with the tech money than Oakland is, I guess, and you know their tech boys.
Yeah, it was a combination of that, if I remember right.
Speaking of a lot of money, Cody, I got a headline for you.
Yeah.
Virginia family finds nearly $1 million in the middle of the road, and returns it.
What?
A Virginia family has returned a pile of cash total nearing $1 million after coming across that sum sitting out in the middle of the road.
A pile of cash?
In a bag, I guess.
Jeez.
There's no way I'm returning
cash. Some people have all
cash.
The luck.
They just returned it.
There's no way you return that
Yeah, if
cash.
My parents tried to return that, I'm robbing my own family.
The Shantz family was driving through the state's Caroline County when they found a pair of bags stuffed with almost seven figures in cash.
Oh, man, I'm snatching.
Emily Shantz says that her and her family were in the pickup truck when they watched a car in front of them steer around an object lying in the middle of the street. Their truck wasn't as lucky as they hit the object, which caused them to stop. They then opened the bag and saw a whole bunch of cash. Inside of the bag, there were plastic baggies, and they were addressed with something that said Cash Vault. Police were called, and after the family learned what they found.
Man.
I wish I had that kind of luck.
Authorities think the bags belonged to the Postal Service and that they were headed to a bank.
Man.
Cash can't be traced, can it?
You can mark bills, but I doubt those bills were marked.
Like, I'm just...
Have you never seen No Country for Old Men, bro?
What you gotta do, though, is...
This is the plot of No Country for Old Men.
I remember
is it not?
The,
like, did that guy not find a bag of cash, and then the guy's like, hey, I want my money back? He's like, no, and then next thing you know, boom.
Yeah, the guy on the side, he had that thing, that gun.
The
that
gun.
Just, like, put a bolt through your...
Yeah, with, like, the air compressor on it. I think it's what they used to kill cows, wasn't it? Isn't that what they used to kill cows?
Yeah, that guy's such a creepy...
Sheep, all that kind of stuff. Pigs.
The No Country for Old Men villain is such a creepy guy.
That guy kept the cash, and there was a marking device.
Yeah, but that's a movie. I'm just...
I mean,
like,
you dump the bag, obviously.
Yeah, you
got to
dump the bag for sure.
You dump the bag, but you keep the cash, and what you do is you just go somewhere, and like you treat yourself like you're doing normal stuff. Like, you know, live your life normally.
Just using
now you can
cash.
Buy whatever you want, but you just go somewhere, and you're like, hey, can I get change for this 100? at like a store and they'll give you change and now they have the 100. Now you have clean bills.
Yeah, and then, okay. Now so you're on camera.
So you need to wash.
Oh, well, I'm not catching them all in at one place.
I know, but like if they start piecing them back together and they go there and they're holding the clerk hostage saying, let me see the security footage of who brought this money in. Now they know you.
So you're
on camera now.
You think you would need to wash that money?
I don't know.
I'm just thinking it's
if
one
you
thing.
You want to be super safe, yeah, but
it's one thing when you hear the in the stories about people getting like all the money in their bank account and they go out and spend it. And
well, that's completely different.
Right, right.
That is like just bank error. This is you actually finding just a bunch of cash.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you just find the cash, you know, whatever happened to finders keepers?
Whatever happened to it?
How would you even know to return it? How would you know who to return it to?
Call the cops. I'm sure it got right. I'm sure it got back very safely.
I hate this family. I hate this. Oh, yeah. It's like they don't play with the evidence vaults and stuff.
They said they just wanted to do the right thing, and returning the money was the right thing to do.
Well, guess what? Karma's not going to pay you $1 million, you idiots.
Is it the right thing to do, though,
no.
If that money was going to a bank?
It was gifted to you. If they're religious, that was a gift.
Could be.
You could easily spend that in saying, this was God giving us our come up, right?
Yeah, like...
We've been praying for...
You didn't ask for it, but God provided, so take it.
Yeah.
Jeez, I wish I had that kind of luck. You know I'd hook y'all up. We'd be big balling out there if I ran into a bag of $1 million.
Yeah. I just can't imagine...
Our tabs would be nothing.
I can't imagine not keeping cash.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm taking
to
it.
To come into that much cash. I mean, you could, if you lived reasonably... You could live the rest of your life with that.
Yeah. I think, honestly, if you want to be safe, I mean, you could try to take the whole million. I feel like you would be a little nervous, though. Worried that it was bad money and that somebody's going to get you. I feel like at the very least, you'd take, like, $20,000 just leave the bag in the middle of the road, like, keep it moving. Like,
yeah,
a bag fell out on the road. No one's going to be able to track it down. It was you. You just leave the bag there, take $20,000, $25,000, keep it moving.
Yeah, but then if you're going to take $20,000, you think, why not take
I'm dumping the money in my trunk, dumping the bags, and I'm going on about my happy way. And
what about just keeping the money? What about keeping the money and holding on to it for like 6 months and not spending any of it? And then if someone tracks you down, you're just like, hey, big bro, like I was just holding this money for you. It was out in the middle of the road.
Yeah,
I didn't touch it. It's all there. I'm just saying, like, if somebody's like actually hunting you down, like the villain from No Country Old Men, or No Country of Old, or No Country
for Old Men,
Four Old Men,
yeah.
Or you have like the mob or somebody after you, like, hey, OG, triple OG, the money's all right here. Don't worry about it. I was helping keep it safe because your guy messed up and dropped it. I was doing you a favor. It's all there. Don't worry about it. It hasn't been touched. Bada boom, bada bing. Maybe they don't kill you. Maybe they say, you know what? You work for me now.
Yeah, and now see, you I don't want to be in the mob, but like with $1 million, I could borderline become Batman almost, at least enough to fight off the mob.
Absolutely not. With $1 million, you can't become Batman. What are you talking about? Wasn't he a billionaire?
Was really rich.
Yeah, no, $1 million isn't going to make you Batman. $1 million isn't going to get you.
I can at least get the suit.
$1 million isn't going to get you like 10 years of his mortgage in his house. What are you talking about?
How long do you think you could live on $1 million?
Forever.
How can I live on it?
Yeah.
I'm living forever.
Like, that's the only income?
Your life,
that's the only income you can make?
That's all you got is that $1 million.
Can you invest it, like half of it, and like have it drawing money?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, you just have $1 million cash, you just got chill?
I think so, yeah.
I can't use my $1 million to make me more money?
No, it's just you're just living off of it.
No, I don't think
so. You probably just live to the end of your life then. I mean, you wouldn't be able to like go out and ball. But I mean, like, if you give me $1 million for the rest of my life, I would be able to budget properly.
Best case scenario.
Just not change anything, really. Like, $2,000 for a mortgage a month, like, you know.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, you got.
Yeah, probably buy a house.
Since you can't do anything with the money, there's no point in, like, saving that money.
Best case scenario, if you got 50 years left to live, let's say $1 million.
Wait, 50 years.
Divided by 50.
They give you $20,000 a year to spend?
20 grand a year.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, that's about what I'm making now.
That'd be tough.
You could get by on 20 grand. Like I said, you wouldn't be able to ball.
I mean,
you wouldn't be able to do anything, but you would survive.
You'd need a cheap place to live.
Shout out Knoxville.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. You could buy a house, like I said, and just
relax.
Or just rent. Since you can't do anything with the money, I don't know. Maybe you just rent. I don't know what the. Maybe you buy and lock it in because the rent prices are probably just going to go up, right?
Yeah, or you could live really well for less than that many years.
Yeah.
And then just hop off the Golden Gate Bridge.
True.
I just hope that somebody takes care of you when you run out of money.
Let's say $1 million divided by, let's say I want to spend $75,000 a year. That gives me approximately 13 years and 3 months.
That's not a lot.
No, not really. Not really.
$1 million doesn't go as long as it used to.
No, guess not.
All right, let's catch a break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
David Britt with Volunteer State In.
All right, looking at the poll question I put up on Fox Sports Knox's Twitter account, Tom Fornelli ranked Jeremy Pruitt as the 27th best coach in the country. Too high, too low, just right for now. 222 votes are in. You want to take a guess on how the breakdown has gone?
Yes. I'll say 40% say too low.
31% say too low. Including me. I just voted too low.
You voted on your own poll?
It's Fox Sports Knoxville polls, but I'm allowed to vote on it as well.
Oh. Kind of skews the results, doesn't it?
Do I not count? Does my opinion not count?
It does, but it's your poll, though.
It's the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter account's poll.
Yeah, but it's your poll.
Did you vote in it?
No. Thought it would be against the rules for me to vote.
62% say just right for now. 7% say too high.
Very well. 7% are just miserable people.
Well, I mean, I don't. 7%, that probably is a pretty good representation of the people who are just miserable. You're probably right there.
Typically.
Yeah. No arguments there.
That's typically how I vote in polls. I just vote for the.
Whichever one's going
to
make the
people
mad.
The one to mess
the
up
one.
The poll.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah. That's you.
Yep, that's
you,
me.
Would you consider yourself a miserable person?
Yeah.
Chaos agent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty unhappy.
Well, like I told you in the CBS coach rankings, Jeremy Pruitt came in at number 38 on their list. 27 on Tom Fornelli, the author's list. But, I mean, if you look, you said 38 felt about right, didn't you? Just in what that you know, just in terms of what you have seen so far on the field?
Yeah.
Which I do think you have to take recruiting and consider that as well. Like, I don't think it's just on the field. And neither does Tecval. He wrote in, he thinks it's 50% recruiting, 30% development and culture, 20% actual game day coaching. I don't know if I would put, or maybe that was about Coach O. Never mind. Sorry, Tecval. I don't know what that was in relation to. But when it comes to grading a coach, like, what would the breakdown be? Like, what would you rather have, an ace recruiter, an ace developer, or an ace game day coach? Or what would be the breakdown? Would it be 50%? You just want somebody who can really recruit, and as long as they're not a bad game day coach and can have a good culture and develop, like, you can still win 8, 9, 10 games a year?
If you just had to pick one or the other?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a guy that recruits well and gets really good players in. Must be the Domino's man outside.
Pizza man, we don't give free pub pizza man.
Ah, yeah, everybody okay. Knows Domino's. I mean,
yeah, but now people are thinking about it.
I mean, we talk about every other restaurant.
Fair enough.
Wendy's, Sonic, Burger King.
Fair enough. 50% of it recruiting. You want somebody who's just an ace there?
I would rather have the good recruiter who can't coach as well than the good coach who doesn't have good players.
Okay. Well, how would you grade Pruitt's skills in those? Like, Pruitt's strengths to you, recruiting, culture and development, game day coaching? Like,
he
what?
Seems kind of well-rounded. I don't know if he's elite at anything, but he seems well-rounded.
I think he's a pretty good developer. You saw some of the guys kind of blossom in his
on defense, at least.
Yeah,
not really
defensively,
on offense.
Yeah,
not,
defensively for sure.
On offense, I can't point to too many people developing. I mean, the offensive line ended up being pretty solid by the end of the year, but, I mean, it was against the bottom tier SEC teams, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if the offense, if they would have been able to do anything against, you know, Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, that's
by the end of the year, because, I mean, like, you know, they had been playing better, but against bad opponents.
Pruitt to
defense,
me.
Defense, though, you're right. Defense, you saw a lot of guys develop. You saw Darrell Taylor, you saw Nigel Warrior. Those guys went. Yeah. And I know Nigel Warrior didn't get drafted, but he was an all-SEC safety. Yep. Like, that was pretty
was
big.
Good.
That was pretty big development under him. Daniel Batuli, I feel like, got better under him. So, when you combine that with where what he's done at his other stops, I feel pretty good about Pruitt developing defense. Now, we'll see. I'm really interested to see this year's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it another year under Pruitt and Pruitt system and more familiarity, but another year under Chaney. And, you know, just you're starting to get more of your guys in there and hopefully guys that can kind of match up with what you want to do. Like, it's your it's your third year. Usually that's when you start getting judged on what you bring in. So I'll hold off on the developing offense, but yes, defense, I fully agree. And yeah, I do feel like if we're just going by text breakdown, like the 30% development culture feels like Tennessee's got a pretty good culture going right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say so for sure. I mean, like we said, we touched on defensive development. And, of course, we see the recruit class right now looks good. So it's just if he can maintain and keep doing that.
So I do agree on those three. It does seem like Pruitt isn't a negative in any of those.
No,
now, the actual game day coaching would have been – you would have felt a lot different about it after weeks one and two, right? You know, coming off of a 5-7 year, you come out and lose two in a row to Georgia State and BYU, the game day coaching would have gotten bad remarks. But, you know, again, I want to see how he handles offensive situations a little bit more. But – Pruitt's game day coaching, what would you grade it at, Cody? Because I feel like the defense, top 25, the defense was really good by the end of last year. And I feel like I liked his coaching when it came to offense for the most part in terms of being aggressive on fourth downs. I liked the fact that he did not get married to a quarterback.
I like that about him too. And I like – it seems like he's willing to make changes when he seems like the when he feels like he should, you know. He's not just going to stick with a guy just because he made some promises, I think. So I think that that's good. And
like, you won't see very many people treat a quarterback like a sixth man. Like, you won't see – like, usually the quarterback is the sacred position, right, where you put somebody in and then you stick with them. That's always the thought process, right? Like, when you go to the backup quarterback, well, if you're going to put him in, you got to stick with him and ride it out. If you're going to put the young guy in, you can't be juggling him around – because it'll mess his confidence up. When you make the switch, you got to stick with it. And Jeremy Pruitt didn't subscribe to that. And, you know, with his fourth-year junior, he looked around and said, you're not getting it done right now, go to the bench. We'll bring you back in a little bit. And, you know, again, the first half of the season wasn't great. But the second half, I feel like he hit the right notes and made the right moves most of the time. And you were rewarded by winning six games in a row. Now, again, you didn't beat anybody great, but you won six games in a row, and that's pretty good for year two.
I think the game day defense is good.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. You remember the Auburn game?
Yep.
2018, and it was the first time that we kind of saw it on display where he was, like, basically telling a guy what was going to happen on the play.
Yep. You saw him leaned over telling, was it Schamberger from the nickel, like, hey, go blitz now. Like, they're getting ready to go in motion. Like, here you go.
Yeah. And he was I think he's good at stuff like that. I mean, the guy, he's been around defense his whole life. I think he's a good game day coach on defense.
Jeremy Pruitt or Justin Fuente?
Jeremy Pruitt. I'll take my guy over Justin Fuente.
Jeremy Pruitt or Chip Kelly in 2020?
Well, Chip Kelly kind of got figured out. I mean, yeah, what he did at the
he's
time.
He's behind now.
He's gone 3-9 and 4-8.
Yeah, he's been nine. Like he was so innovative, but now everybody does the same thing.
Right.
And, like, when he came back down, like, he didn't change anything. So, like, now he's in the past almost.
Other teams built on what he did.
So, like, now he's an
innovator.
Past him.
He's an innovator, but that's why I specified 2020.
Yeah, I think I'd take Pruitt.
I think I would, too. When you factor in the SEC staff – that Pruitt put
together.
Sure,
we can make it a whole entire coaching staff if you want.
Yeah, just.
And the ability to, if, you know, like.
I never.
You got to have the ability to fill the staff back out, right? Because, like, what happens when you start winning is you see people leave your staff, but you've got to be willing to continue to build your staff and, you know, get good people to come up. Then I think Tennessee, I feel pretty confident where they're going to head that way. Like, if they lose a Derek Ansley, It would suck for recruiting purposes, but I feel like Tennessee would go out and get a big-time defense coordinator. I feel like the ties he has in the South is pretty damn good, and so far, like, Chip Kelly's staff doesn't seem great. Like, I can't believe anybody on Chip Kelly's staff right now.
And UCLA's a place where you should be able to win. Like, things are not good for him there, you know? I never thought I would have said it 2 years ago, when the coaching search was going on. Like, Chip Kelly was at the top of the list, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never would have thought, I'd rather have Jeremy Pruitt than him. But hindsight, now that we know what we know, I think I go Pruitt.
I'm not giving up on Chip Kelly yet. I don't think Chip Kelly's done. Or I'm not – I don't know Chip Kelly's done. Let me take that back. I think he's done.
I think he is.
But I don't know he's done. He can still get off the mat, and he can still bounce back and – you know, year three, year four, start getting UCLA back on back on track.
Yeah. I think he's cooked.
I guess he is starting to get his recruiting classes in there. And he did show flashes last year.
Yeah, had a couple of good games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to have to get more innovative. Yeah, he's going to somehow,
A genius for his time.
Yeah.
But now everybody's just taking what he did and they built on it.
Yeah, so like now.
And he hasn't really adapted.
Know.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt or number 35, Lane Kiffin?
Oh, now you're getting me in the... Now you're getting me in the feels. You know how I feel about Lane.
I'm just asking. I'm going down the list of Jeremy Pruitt versus the people ranked ahead of him on this list.
I would almost call them almost like opposite versions of each other because I think Lane's like one of the best offensive game day like play callers, and I think Pruitt's so good at the defensive play calling.
I think Lane would be more fun. I think we'd be scoring a bunch of points.
He's bringing Kendall Bras with him.
I mean, I think it's the flip. I think it just flips it.
Hope so. He can bring Art if he wants to. No, that's too far. It's too far. It would be a good offense, though.
So I'm putting you down for Kiffin?
I take Kiffin. He's my boy.
Scott Frost?
So we're going... Names above Pruitt.
Yeah, I'm going the guys ranked ahead of Pruitt right now to see, you know, just how far up you would put him on the list.
Man, Scott, he hasn't really done anything at Nebraska yet.
4-8 and 5-7. He is so I guess that would make him, 9-15?
I'll take Pruitt.
Justin Wilcox?
He's kind of like Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
Without the recruiting.
I'll take Pruitt. Pruitt having the Southern ties and the staff and being able to recruit like he's recruiting right now has really raised him up in my book.
And I just feel like Pruitt's a better defensive coordinator than Justin Wilcox, too. Like, I mean, Wilcox is great, but Pruitt's a better version of him.
Yeah,
my opinion.
I'd take Pruitt over him.
Went 8-5 last year, same as Tennessee.
I don't want to be too high on Jeremy Pruitt. Like, there's still a chance of regression probably, but – I feel pretty hopeful right now.
Dave Clawson?
Pruitt.
Scott Satterfield?
Pruitt.
I don't know. I think Satterfield's really, really good. I'd take Pruitt over Clawson, but Satterfield went from 2-10 to 8-5 in his first year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good. Did he build Appalachian State?
I believe he did. But I don't know. He wasn't there when they beat Michigan.
Well, no, I know that. But I mean, they fell off after that. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Did he build them back up? I think that he did. He's regarded as a pretty good coach.
I mean, the first year there, he was there at Appalachian State. They were 7-5, then 11-2, 10-3, 9-4, 10-2. The years before he was there, let me see if I can find that. Did our internet go out? Did something happen here?
You're looking at just list of Appalachian State seasons?
Yeah, but I this link.
It's okay if you can't find it.
Yeah.
It's usually on Wikipedia. List of Appalachian writers? No.
Well, I was on Satterfield, and then like it linked to Appalachian State, so I clicked there. They were, before he got there, they were, what the hell?
You want me to find it?
Did they not, what is this?
You okay?
I'm just really confused because it has. What are we doing here? Sports Reference. Sports-reference.com. One of my favorite websites on the planet. I use it all the time. Basketball Reference, Pro Football Reference, Sports Reference. I use it all the time. when I type in Appalachian State record by year, it goes 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 1981.
Well, luckily.
So I guess they're going just when they were Division One.
Okay. I got it for you here. Yeah,
what were they in 13 and 12?
I'm using Wikipedia, which is the superior service.
That is not usually accurate though when it comes to sports.
He got hired in 2013. Was his first season.
So Jerry Moore was winning before he got there.
That was the guy that beat Michigan.
So he did not build them up.
No, Jerry Moore had won 13, 11, 11, 10, 8, 8.
Okay.
So he had fallen off a little bit, but they were still good. They were still a playoff team.
Gotcha.
But I don't know what happened to Jerry Moore.
They moved up to D1 in 2014.
I think he was just old, right?
Yeah, he might have just retired.
Yeah, because he was coaching since like 89.
Yeah, he was old.
Maybe he retired.
But yeah, they hired him in 2013. They moved to D1 in 2014. And I mean, they went 7-5 the first year D1. And then from there, they went 11, 10, 9, 11, 13.
So Scott Satterfield or no?
I think he's a good coach.
I take Pruitt. I'll stick with my guy.
Your guy.
He was my guy back during the coaching search.
And then you quickly turned on him.
Well, when he lost to Georgia State, yeah. I turned on him when he lost to Georgia State.
Okay.
I don't think I ever said he should have been fired, though. I might have once. Maybe twice. So who's next?
Everyone was out on Pruitt except me at the station. I just want to point that out. Everyone was wanting to fire him. I was kind of annoyed when that was happening. Me and Trey Wallace. Let me backtrack. Me and Trey Wallace. Hmm. My brother that stood next to me.
I didn't say fire him.
You, think. Russell, Nate. I don't know about Houston. Maybe I shouldn't throw Houston out. Houston might have been lumped into that. I don't know.
I was upset with him. I don't think I said fire him.
You 100% did. As did Russell, as did Nate, as did, I want to say, I don't know what Houston said.
To kind of be more pro-chaos before the pandemic.
Oh, you're a changed man?
And I think it was more so that I just wanted to see what would happen.
Well, that's so weird that you claim that, because I remember in 2017, you were defending Butch Jones to the death in the preseason.
Would that not align with pro-chaos, just to see everyone completely melt down and fall apart with it?
You know what?
When are we going to fire him?
You know what?
You know?
I'll give you the point there.
So. Plus, I was a different guy back then.
But I'll still give you the point because that was a nice spin zone. So, I mean, I think Satterfield's good. Herm Edwards.
I'd take him over Herm. Herm's doing a good job, though.
Herm's doing a good job, but I would take Pruitt over him.
Yeah.
Herm, a big riser, went from 54th up to 30th. Mike Norvell?
I'm taking him over Mike Norvell. I wanted him over Mike Norvell even back then.
Tom Herman's his star has fallen. He is all the way down to 28th.
Now, that one, 2 years ago, if you had asked me, I would have said definitely Tom Herman.
Tom Herman probably was around the top 10 almost 2 years ago.
Tom Herman would probably take Jeremy Pruitt over Tom Herman. I mean, if I'm Tom Herman and I'm looking at Tom Herman at Texas.
I'd be like, hey, Jeremy, you want to come here and run the defense? I'll run the offense, and we'll just be co-head coaches.
Maybe we could find a guy, like a local guy named Tom Herman. Call him and see what he thinks.
Okay. Are the yellow pages still a thing?
No, I don't think so. I reached out to Coach Duggs, by the way.
On like a public forum where it looks like we're begging him to come on?
No. I DM'd him.
Okay.
Trying to get him on the show.
Okay.
His DMs are open even to those he doesn't follow.
Hmm.
So you're not so special after all.
Cutcliffe and Mike Leach come in at 27th and 26th.
Taking Pruitt over...
I'm taking Pruitt over Mike Leach at this point.
Over Cutcliffe at this point, too. Cutcliffe's 90 years old by now.
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
You don't have to age shame, but he's an older gentleman.
I'm not trying to age shame. I just, you know, he's up there in his career. I'd rather have a younger guy with some energy.
I think Pruitt's a lot closer to the top 25 than where he got ranked. Again, I don't want to sound like I am completely all in buying and praising this guy, but I just feel like what he's proven and what he's doing here in Knoxville, which, whatever, like, I don't necessarily blame the writers of CBS Sports for not knowing or not paying attention. You can't possibly know every single culture of a program, right? You can't know what the feelings are. But here in Knoxville, I think most people are pretty bought into what Jeremy Pruitt's doing. Pretty excited for what's going on.
Yeah, the approval rating right now, I think, is at about, 72%. How do you do an approval rating? Do you just simply ask people, do you approve of the job that Jeremy
You can
Pruitt
do approve, disapprove. You could say strongly approve, slightly disapprove, strongly disapprove.
I hate those. The slightly, strongly. Never like those. I hate when you have to fill out those questionnaires and it's always.
Well, I don't like it in those, but I kind of like it whenever you're doing something like that because it gives more nuance to it than just a simple yes or no.
Yeah, if it's just one question, sure.
I think you should be able to like say like, hey, I'm 85% in on this guy versus I'm 51% and like have those votes count the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if it's just one question, it makes sense. But don't you hate when you do like one of those personality tests?
Yeah, definitely.
Or like
I just hate doing those personality tests in general. So
yeah, it's like because I'm just like then you sit there and think about it. Like it's always like if an old woman needed help crossing the street, would you help her? Or something like that, and it's like
yes, for sure. I would definitely help her.
Strongly agree that she should be helped.
Yes.
Slightly agree that she should be helped. I'm always like, I either feel one way or another. You know, it's like I don't know. I never.
And slightly, because what if she's independent, and doesn't want help?
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know.
I'm willing to offer my help, but maybe she doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Let's do some Cam's animal facts. You good to go?
Yeah, I can do that.
Coming up after the break, it's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
American Environmental is an industrial cleaning...
Hey, I'm Steve Irwin. Holy smokes, that was too close. Danger, danger, danger.
All right, Cam, what animals do we have up on the docket today?
I just got a couple for you. I got the snub-nosed monkey.
The snub-nosed monkey.
And the tegus.
And the what?
Tegus.
All right, let's do it.
It's a type of lizard. But I'll start with the snub-nosed monkey. So there's a variety of these. Most of them live in China, and they're super rare. So there's not a ton of information out there on them. They're known for living up in high elevation, which is one of the reasons that they're so rare and hard to get to. They live up to elevations of like 6,000 to 9,000 feet in the mountains.
These things give me the heebie-jeebies.
They kind of look like Michael Jackson toward the end of his life.
Yeah, that is pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can see why they kind of call him snub nose. It looks like their nose is kind of just like slits in their face. It kind of looks like Voldemort a little bit with the just nose.
Don't be ridiculous.
But so they live in the mountains and stuff, which it rarely gets over like 75 degrees up there, and temperatures get below freezing in winter, and so it's really tough to get to them. So not a ton of information is known about them, but they're usually about like 2 feet tall, 35 pounds, somewhere around there. Females a little smaller than males.
What happened to their nose?
they got.
I am not sure. Like, that's one of those things that people are absolutely not positive of
like,
why their nose developed
the,
like that.
I don't get what the benefit of evolution this would be like.
They were bred with pugs. They're actually half pug, half
pug.
Monkey.
But yeah, no, there's not like
an
actual information for that. But they just eat leaves, flowers, fruits, seeds, stuff like that. They're plant eaters. Forage along the
These
ground,
things are so
yada, yada, yada.
The little
a couple of them have really big lips though. The lips are so weird.
The little
some of them
ones
can live
funny.
In groups up to like 500. Like sometimes they're just mobbing up there in the mountains, just chilling, hanging out. But
I'm
yeah,
confused they're... how some of them have weird lips, or some of them have thin lips, and some have really thick, luscious lips.
The little ones kind of look like old men.
Yeah, there's a ton of different types of these. Ugh. There's like the black snub nose. There's the gray snub nose. There's the golden snub nose.
Some
there's,
of them
there's
are
a
blue
big variety. But yeah, they. They are they're pretty cool monkeys though. They're just so hard to get to in that elevation. Like they literally like we talked about the monkey it's like the rain and the sneezing monkeys. That's a type of snub nosed monkey.
Okay.
Because you know how the nose is designed with the slits kind of like that. So not really good for keeping out rain and things like that. But they are kind of I don't think they're quite endangered yet, but habitat loss and stuff like that.
Look at how cute this one looks.
Has kind of ruined some of their stuff.
Look at this. He's so cute.
Imagine seeing one of these things in the woods.
Yeah, looks like this one.
Just chilling in a tree. Yeah. This just one, staring at you.
This Hello
one,
there.
This one looks like he belongs in Star Wars.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
But yeah, they are pretty much exclusive.
So they're not
China.
Endangered, they're threatened though? Is that correct?
Yeah, some of the species are endangered, but most aren't. It's just some of the rare ones that kind of split off from the rest of them. It's just kind of how it happens all the time with evolution. You'll get pockets of different types, and those are the ones that kind of end up being a little endangered. But like, yeah, when it's cool, they all huddle together in a big cluster to try and stay warm, stuff like that.
Squad.
They squad up to stay warm. So
shout out to the squad.
It's a cool monkey, and they do like to huddle together and kind of do their thing and live in big family groups. And they are they don't stay exclusive to one mate, so they get around.
Hey.
But yeah,
shout out to Tupac.
They are a good time. They are cool monkeys. All right. The Tegus. So the Tegus. That's TEG. U and S, if you want to throw the S on there, it's either Tegu or Tegus, depending on how you're kind of talking about them. So the big thing about these is they are now established in Georgia. So these are actually a really common pet. They get like 4 feet long, big lizards. They're kind of like the monitor lizard family, but they're from South America.
Got to be honest, Cam, you seem like a Tegus guy. It seems like
they're really cool.
Yeah,
they kind of they almost act like dogs. Yeah. You can house break these lizards.
Nah, I don't know.
You can house no, dude. They get really attached to their owners. You can house break them. They'll follow you around like a puppy. It's really crazy if you ever want to look up videos of Tegus acting like dogs.
Not, I'm out. Thanks,
it like
Cam.
Scratches. It's crazy. Like those.
If you have a Tegus as a pet, you're a weirdo.
Well, the problem is people have these.
You have a reptile as a pet. You're a weirdo.
Oops. Well, these, like people used to keep these as pets, or they do keep them as pets. But people release them. There is pockets of them in Florida because everybody releases everything in Florida. Florida has every invasive species. But now Georgia has an established population of these. So this was recently in the news.
When you say established population, it just means they are now there. Like,
yeah, like it's like they can keep breeding and stay alive. It's not like there's four of them running around. It's like there's an actual population.
A whole crew.
Yeah,
they're migrating north.
Pretty much. So they're in Georgia. They like to steal like gopher tortoise holes and stuff to kind of live there. They're not really a threat to humans because I mean they're not really aggressive as you can, especially when you get them as like a pet.
But I imagine they eat up all the wildlife.
Yep, that's the problem. They love eggs is their big thing, so they will eat the eggs of like every other species, like birds, lizards, snakes, anything else. They'll like in Florida, they're known for eating up the alligator eggs, stuff like that.
It's fewer alligators.
Yeah, but. That could be a problem too, but yeah.
It's like
so
the alligators probably eat something else though. That's important. That's how the
it ruins.
That's
the whole
problem
thing
with the ecosystem.
Yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, so it does kind of mess up the whole ecosystem. So like they're omnivores. They eat a little bit. They pretty much eat anything is the problem. So they eat whatever they can kind of get their mouths on. And being a 4 foot long lizard, you can eat a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
they
have
like
been
pigs.
Very problematic to Florida for sure. Georgia, they're starting to become a problem.
Just like southern Georgia, I assume?
Yeah, it's pretty much southern Georgia.
Wait till I get to Atlanta. It's going to be crazy.
Run around the city. But, so basically, they lay anywhere between, like, 10 to 70 eggs, so.
Anywhere from 10 to 70, okay.
Yeah, so they can they can
reproduce quite the range
pretty fast.
There.
Yeah, it is really weird how big that range is. But, yeah, so they can reproduce pretty fast, and, yeah, so they're asking people in Georgia if you see them to kill them. They're just saying, yeah, whack these lizards.
Would you do that?
No. Well, I probably would consider it because I don't want the ecosystem to get butchered by these because they're invasive species, so you kind of have to.
So you would be able to.
I'd probably at least catch it. I probably wouldn't be the one to kill it. I'd probably catch
it
and maybe, but maybe not a wild one. But I'd probably catch it and take it to like somewhere. Well, they would probably kill it, but I'm probably not killing it personally. They're too cool of animals. But yeah, they're originally from like Argentina. The most common ones that are kept as pets, and you know, kind of out in Georgia now. But
they started in Argentina. And now they're all the way in Georgia.
Yeah, because
maybe
they're
on like a mission to get to the North Pole.
Yeah, people keep them as pets and put them everywhere. They're gonna get out and like because people will buy them and then not realize that the lizard's gonna get 4 feet long.
These things are scary looking.
Hey, they're super.
Why
nice.
Do people like lizards but hate snakes?
No legs.
Good question.
I think.
Is it the Bible?
that's part of it, I think.
Did Big Snake get taken down by the Bible?
Yeah, I think that's you know, we live in the Bible Belt.
I think that's a lot to do with it. I feel like from our early age, we're supposed to be taught that.
Yeah, we're taught snakes are like evil and scary and stuff. So like
snakes are bad.
They are scary.
And you know, there's venomous ones. So like it's preached into our head that snakes are dangerous.
The venomous ones are pretty scary. I will agree.
But yeah, I think it's part of the like no legs thing too. That freaks
that
people
also
out.
Is a little weird, not having legs.
But Lieutenant
Dan.
But yeah,
you can
house break this lizard. How cool is that? You can house break
a
lizard.
Not cool at all, Cam. It's
you can have the lizard just running around your house and it's not gonna crap all over your floor.
That's fine, Cam. Still not very cool. It's a lizard.
It acts like a dog though.
Yeah, Cam, still not gonna say that's very cool. Okay.
It's a lizard puppy.
Yeah, no, not gonna
but
say
their
that.
Their bites
one.
Do hurt. They actually have more bite force than a dwarf caiman, so don't make them mad, but they're pretty docile, actually. So if you saw one in the wild, it's not gonna be problematic or anything, but.
Did you say something about a dwarf caveman?
Caiman.
Oh, caiman.
Yeah.
They said caveman.
Type of crocodilian.
Imagine a dwarf caveman.
Those probably would have gone extinct.
They didn't. They didn't last very long.
They didn't let them around the fire.
But yeah, these lizards can live 20 years, so if you keep them as pets, they're going to be around for a while.
No thanks. All right, good batch of animal kingdom topics, whatever the hell they're called. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us.
If you're a young professional or